Hi, Jay.
So, hello everyone. This is the first episode of the Unscripted Podcast. It is me, your host, DeKen. I know you remember me from last year from the previous podcast. This is a brand new podcast and it's unscripted for a reason. So first, I'm honored to introduce a truly inspiring individual, a woman who wears many hats and excel at every single one of them. She is a devoted wife, a compassionate registered nurse, and a talented cook who knows how to create both comfort and care, whether it's in the kitchen or at home. She is also a proud new homeowner, and she's a woman of many ambitions, setting out to achieve her next degree. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to Shaniqua Richardson Estelle, someone who shows us what it means to balance a family, a career, personal growth with determination. Shaniqua, it's a pleasure to have you on this show. How you feel today?
Hello, everyone. I'm feeling good. I'm off today, so and just getting over the flu, so I feel pretty good. How about yourself?
I know how that feels. I'm just getting over the flu myself. First, before we just break off into the podcast, I just want to let everyone know that I do have my own coffee brand here, which is Unscripted Coffee. This is the first brand that I made, which is the maple syrup citrus almond flavor. And we are also promoting the Unscripted multivitamin gummies. So you can go get those at the Unscripted website at www.unscripted/printify.com. Shaniqua herself has tried the coffee. Tell the people what you think about the coffee. I know you're not a coffee drinker, but tell me what you think about it.
Okay, yeah, so I'm actually not a coffee drinker, but I actually tried the coffee and it's actually really good. Like I say, it doesn't have, like, when I go to Starbucks and I smell coffee. So my thing is, I used to like coffee. When I was pregnant with my daughter, the smell of coffee just made me want to vomit, and that's just a smell that it just never left. So, like I said, with the coffee, you can taste the maple in it. Actually, I can smell it like on my fingers after I get done drinking it. So it's actually pretty good. So if you like coffee, like you said, go out, go get the coffee. Like I said, if you like maple, you can really taste the maple in it. And it's not a strong coffee taste like what I get with other coffees that I've tried before. So it's perfect. It's perfect. So go out and get it, guys.
I think that's gonna be big for people who really love the smell of coffee. They can still have the residual effects even after they drank it. And that's what Unscripted is gonna give you. It's just gonna give you something so defined that you've never had it before. But we can go ahead and jump straight into the podcast. I'm not gonna be like other podcast hosts who just prolong it. We can hop into the podcast. This episode I wanna title, The Journey to Self-Discovery. One of the questions I wanna throw out there
Out
is,
there is
what moments in your life
moments.
has shaped you to who you are today? Like, who is
Okay.
Shaniqua? What made you the person you are today?
I don't have really just a particular moments. I have really several moments, but really I just want to touch on the people that made me, that shaped me to be the person that I am today. So like I say, I have three women in my life, which is my mom, my aunt, and my grandma. They all shaped me to be the person that I am today. And I guess for the most part, I can just touch on my mom because basically she has a hearing disability and she's basically had that all her life or whatever. And people always tell her, oh no, you can't do this because you're deaf. She's a go-getter. She'll go out there. She go out there. She'll get it. She don't let anything stop her. And that's kind of what I took from her growing up. If it's something that you want to do, reach for your dreams. Do it. Like, you can do it. Just whatever. So that's what I got from her and my mom and my grandma. They're strong black women as well. So they taught me to be a strong black woman growing up. So even like I say with my mom, she's a go-getter. So that's where I get that from. And she shaped me. They all shaped me into, like I said, the strong black woman that I am today. Now, as far as nursing wise, what shaped me to be the great nurse that I am today, when I was younger, my grandma on my dad's side, rest in peace to her, she was burned, so she had like third, fourth degree burns. They rushed her to Parkland, burn unit. And while I was there, I was in the third grade when this happened. So while I was there, I saw how the nurses and all the care team like treated her. Not only treated her, how they treated her, they treated us really well. and, you know, care for the family as well. So I was like, oh my God, like one day I want to do that. I want to be that nurse for my, you know, for my patients or whatever. So I'm a labor delivery nurse. And to me, it's important to have like those Black nurses, like African-American nurses there, you know, to support. So that's why, that's what, you know, like, I just, like I say, I'm sorry, y'all. I just take that and, like I said, just all those things, I just, you know.
How did you stay so disciplined? Like, you said this happened when you were younger, and now you're an adult, you know, and you just, you know, you're just not achieving to becoming a nurse. How did you stay so disciplined and on this path? Because, you know, I personally learned growing up, you can take many paths in life because you can see so many opportunities that you would like to take and so many things you like to do. How did you stay so disciplined on this one particular path and was like, I'm not doing anything else but this?
That's just what I wanted to do. I just had my mind made up since then. So like I said, when I first jumped into to the medical system, I was a PCT, a patient care technician, and I loved doing that. But when I got around the nurses, they were like, oh no, you know, you don't want to be a nurse. It's backbreaking. It's not rewarding. So they didn't really have anything good to say about it. So that I was kind of like, well, I don't know. Maybe I don't want to be a nurse. But when I sat down and asked myself, what do you really want to do? It was really nothing else that came to mind. So for a little while, I went to school for social work. And I did that for a little while. But it's just, I don't know. Nursing, when I just think of nursing, it just makes my heart smile. So it's just something that I always wanted to do. So when I got at first, like, it took me a while to get into it because, like I said, I kind of scared myself away from it. Maybe I'm not smart enough, you know, like I'm just, you know, all these things. And then one day, like I start taking the classes, which is the prerequisite classes. And I was like, okay, you know, I was taking one class at a time and got married, you know, had a daughter, all those things or whatever happened or whatever. And I was like, well, let me just start taking these classes, you know, one at a time. So I took those classes and it was always something to get in my way. Like I was working the 8-to-5 job and the last class that I needed was an anatomy class. And with that class, it was during that time while I was at work. So I'm like, man, you know, like what else can I do? So I kind of, you know, dropped off from that for a little bit. And then I was like, you know what, this is something that I really, really want to do. So when I started at my job, my manager, he texted me and was like, hey, you know, like, so basically you can take anatomy 3 times or whatever. And I took them. I got like a C, but you know, you want to, it's competitive. So you want a better grade. So he's like, hey, like, go ahead and apply. Like, you know, so I went online, the class that I needed, it was one class left. I signed up for that. I, went ahead and signed up for, to sign up to be, you know, get into nursing school. I didn't get in the first time because it was the last round or whatever. So they had already did a pick. So I was like, you know what? This is for me. Everything is lining up for me. So I'm going to do it. And then the second time when I applied, I got in because while I was waiting, I went ahead and did other classes that I could do. And like I say, it just came to me. It just happened. And I was like, okay, this is really, really what I want to do. And I just did it.
So what advice, like, would you give to people who want to go to nursing school, you know, and they're scared to just take that next step?
I would just say, go for it. Believe in yourself. If that's something that you really, really want to do, this is not something that you get into because of the money. It's other things that you can get into because of the money or whatever. Like, you really have to have a passion for this, because I've seen people get into it for the money and now they're just burned out because it's not the money that they think, you know, that they were going to make. So like I said, just be passionate about it and just go for it. Go for it, find your mentor and go for it. Do it. Just do it.
What is your end goal, like, when it comes to nursing? Like, what are you planning on doing ultimately?
So my end goal is actually to be so I really want to do a dual program, which I want to do certified nurse midwife and also a family nurse practitioner. So that's actually what I'm working on now, just trying to find the right school, because we really don't have schools here, too many schools here that I know of that let you do the dual program. So right now I'm going towards going to UTA and doing my family nurse practitioner and then maybe doing the postmaster's after that. So that's really just my plan I kind of want to step into to everything. Like I say, I deliver babies, but like I say, I want to have that certified nurse midwife role. And even with the family nurse practitioner, I'm thinking of Botox. I can just really throw out a lot of things because Botox, IV therapy, like all those things, like health and wellness type of things is what I want to kind of focus on. So, yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to you saying, though, those three women, you know, shaped who you are today. Would you say a form of discipline played in that, you know, just, you know, being able to take constructive criticism, being able to listen to them while growing up and just, you know, watching how they moved and things like that. Would you say that also played a part in who you are today?
Yes, I can say that that played a part as well. Because, you know, growing up, you know how you don't really listen to your parents. And then when you get grown and you start having your kids, you know, you kind of think back like, dang, you know. So, yeah, they actually, yeah.
Okay. So would you say, and I know you said, you know, you had your child before you started nursing school. Obviously, nursing was your number one goal. I hear a lot of people in life say that, you know, sometimes children can slow you down from your ultimate goal or stop you from getting to your ultimate goal. Sometimes you got to take that scenic route. Do you think that's necessarily true?
I wouldn't necessarily say that they can slow you down. I don't want to say that because children are a blessing or whatever. I don't want to say that they can slow you down, but you really have to. I would recommend going to school and doing all those things before you have a kid because you just have more time to do those things or whatever. So, like I said, when I started nursing school, my daughter was 10 years old. So I didn't want to miss out on, you know, her life or whatever. With going to nursing school, in which a teacher, one of my teachers actually told me, she was like, you know what? She's like, yeah, you probably need to wait till your daughter like gets in school before you start nursing school or whatever, because you'll be able to focus better on it. And I'm like, nah, she don't know what she's talking about. I'm not waiting that long, but it actually worked out. But like I said, if I could give advice to anybody, it would be just to go ahead and start school and do, you know, get your career out the way before you start having kids, because it's much easier. Because when you're a parent, you have to think about like, oh, okay, who's gonna watch my child? And then especially like if you're a single parent and don't have support, it would be really hard for you. I was just blessed to have a husband that allowed me, you know, not to work that many hours or not to work at all if I chose not to. So he made it easy for me or whatever. So like I said, I was blessed with that, but my advice would be to just get the school stuff out the way.
And speaking of this new phase you're on in your life, you're a nurse now. You've been a nurse for about, what, 2 years now?
Mm-hmm.
How are you continuing to learn about yourself? What have you learned about this new version of you? And how are you continuing to learn about yourself?
Okay, so Auntie have notes, because like I said, I prepared like I was in school. So basically, self-awareness. Self-awareness is a powerful tool. It's just understanding self-awareness to me is, understanding my own thoughts, emotions, behavior, and recognizing why I feel or react a certain way in different, situations. That's really the best way that I can say that.
Okay. So like when it comes to self-awareness and reacting to situations, do you feel like every situation need a reaction?
I don't feel that every situation. No, I don't feel that it needs, every situation needs a reaction. Cause like, even with me, I've been knowing this. I know that I'm an impatient person, but I had to like tell myself, like, it's okay if everything doesn't happen on your time. So I'm finding that out. Cause when I want something done, I want it done. Like, you know, I want it done, but I'm like, I say, as I get older, I'm like I said, everything is not on my timeline, and I'm understanding it about myself. So that was the biggest thing about me, the impatient. I'm very impatient. So, yeah.
So that's a good topic to touch on. Like, how can you give people advice? Like, people who are really impatient, would you say, you know, you just have to learn things over time, or is there something you can give them and say, hey, these are the tools I use so I can become more patient versus being, you know, less impatient?
It's really just, it really comes with time. Like, as I, when I, like I said, when I start having a child, when I have my daughter, you have to learn patience with that. Even at work, you have to learn patience because can't just blow up on everybody. So, like, it's just something that happens with time, I believe.
Have you ever had a moment where you blew up on someone, but you felt like, okay, that was like unnecessary, or I blew it out of proportion? Like I could have handled that better.
Yeah, like sometimes when I argue with my husband, like I'm like, oh, okay, and then I sit down, kind of reflect, and like maybe I could have handled that a better way. So yeah.
Okay. Like, okay, so what advice would you give somebody that's like searching for themselves? Like, let's say if you can go back in the past and speak to younger you, or somebody of the younger generation, what advice could you give them in order to search for themselves? And once you touch that topic, I'll touch on how I see it, but I'll let you go first.
Okay. So my advice to someone searching for themselves. Basically accept imperfections. You don't have to have everything figured out. 'Cause I was the one like, oh my God, like I have to have it figured out. Just be patient with yourself. And remember that self-discovery is a journey, not a destination. Another thing I would say is be open to change. Your identity isn't fixed. It evolves as you learn and grow. So give yourself permission to explore different paths and redefine yourself as needed. And then one more important thing is to reflect on your values. Think about what matters to you. What do you stand for? Your 'cause your values can guide decisions and guide insights to who you are. So those are the three things that I would say.
Do you feel like you should stick by your values at all costs? I think we just don't have enough advocates, especially in like the African American community. We don't have enough advocates to, go and support the younger generation to let them know the kind of career paths or just life paths that they need to take in general. Perfect example, I went to high school from 2012 to 2016. And in high school, even though I went to a primarily good school, we still didn't just, we didn't have like a person to say, hey, like, what do you want to do with yourself? Okay, if you want to do this, this is how you need to get to it. You need to take step A, B, C. It's, they always push the narrative of, okay, you're going to get through your freshman year, your sophomore year. By the time you get to your junior year, it's time to take your SAT and ACT. And then senior year is about picking a college. But obviously, everybody's not made to go to college. And so they push the college narrative. I've seen a lot of people who went to college because, school deemed it so, or parents deemed it so. And then they get to college and fail because they don't know what to do in college or what they went to college for in the first place. And I think we always push that a lot in our community. We push that a lot in the African American community. We're quick to tell our children to go off to college, but we don't give them a reason or alternative. Like, okay, what do you want to do with yourself? Like, what is, let's say a kid say, hey, I want to get in the dental field. Okay, I think the first thing that should be done is maybe you should go try trade school first to go be a dental assistant to see how you like it, versus, doing 4 years in college and you come out and you like, okay, yeah, you probably can go to hygienist school right after you do your 4 years, but what if you want to get your feet wet and get that, that basic knowledge and say, okay, I'm gonna go to dental assistant school first, then I'm gonna do hygienist, and then, if I really like it, I'll go be a doctor. I don't think we have people giving out blueprints or guidelines at all. It's just like, go to school, and people get the schooling, they become lost.
Yeah, and I think that's where we come in at because if you think about it, most of our parents didn't go to college. Maybe their parents didn't go to college. So they don't, they didn't know anything about college or whatever. So they really don't know, what to tell us or what to, or what to tell us. So I think that's where we kind of step in. And then nowadays you have the internet. You can Google a lot of things and get the answer or whatever. So I think that, like I say, I think that's where we come in at, and just getting a mentor, having a mentor. So if you don't know something, you can go to them and ask them or whatever. So like I said, I knew that I wanted to be a nurse, and I'm like, okay, like you said, I went to a vocational trade school and I was like, okay, let me do patient care tech. And that opened up the doors for me to get into the medical field. Because a lot of people, like it was a lot of people that I went to nursing school with, they couldn't take a blood pressure or didn't know anything about the medical field at all. They just jumped into it and was like, okay, this is what I want to do. So, like I said, that's what led me to saying, because like it's a thing where they say, oh, okay, when you get out of nursing school, you need to do med surg. Like that's backbreaking work to me. And because I did med surg for those years as a patient care tech, but even as when I went to vocational school, yeah, it was quite a bit of money, but it opened up the doors for me to be able to get. I got a couple of licenses when I did that. I got my PCT license. I got my certified nursing assistant license. Even though I didn't use it, I got EKG, and I also got to get my phlebotomy license. So that opened the door up to a lot of those things or whatever. And those skills I was actually able to build up on to be the nurse that I am today. So yeah, but like you said, you're right. Yeah, you're right about that. We do kind of push that narrative. We'll either basically go to school to work.
Somebody coming fresh into the nursing field, let's say they have no background or whatever. This is a unique question. Do you feel like people should go be LVNs before they go be RNs? Do you feel like that's a step? Because I hear LVNs a lot say, oh, we can do the same work as RNs, but we just can't pass medications or whatever. Because they take the NCLEX as well. But do you feel like if somebody fresh off the street, they just want to go right into nursing, would you say, hey, I think you should go be an LVN first and then see if you want to transition to be an RN?
I wouldn't even say be an LVN, because even with LVNs, they can pass meds. It's just that our scope of practice is very different. Like we oversee an LVN, but my suggestion would be, even if you go into patient care tech or something like that, because that'll help you a lot. It's going to teach you how to interact with patients. It's going to teach you the basic skills, getting blood pressures, doing the temperature. Just like I say, for the most part, let you interact with patients to see how that is or whatever, and see how you interact with patients and family. So that would be my suggestion, to just go in as a PCT, because PCT nowadays you can go in. And that's a quick trade, because even with LVN, you still have to go to school. You still have to get into the program. It's a year long. You still have to sit for NCLEX versus going to the trade school. Because nowadays, I see them with like you can go for 4 months or 2 months even, and then you can do your test and become a patient care tech. So that's just what I suggest, because that's what I would suggest.
When it comes to like hospital settings, and it could just be me, I've noticed that our white counterparts are taken care of better than the African American community. Now, I'm not gonna make it a race thing. I'm not gonna go there with it or anything like that. But do you feel like a black caretaker can better take care of African American patients than any other race can?
I would say yes. I would say yes, because even when I look for a doctor, I kind of look for an African American doctor, because especially African American woman, because I'm a woman myself, she can relate to things that I go through, and I feel that she won't dismiss, or he or she won't dismiss kind of what I'm saying. Because even when I was in, which like I said, I was the PCT, so I've seen it for a long time. Or a white counterpart come in, if they say that their pain is a 10, you're gonna believe them and hey, their pain is a 10. But if an African American person come in, oh, my pain is a 10, they're, oh, she's drug seeking, or oh, he's drug seeking. But just for instance, a patient with sickle cell, their pain is a 10. Really, your pain is whatever you say it is. Well, that's what I learned in nursing school. Whatever a patient say that their pain is, and if the meds is there and it's ordered for them, give it to them. Like, I can't tell you that your pain is a 2, or I can't say that you're drug seeking, even if I see signs that you're a drug seeker. That's not my problem. Like, if your pain is what you say it is. So sometimes in the medical field, we can be, we can get dis we can be dismissed. So that was my thing of wanting. That's why I wanted to step into a labor and delivery. Because an African American is a woman is highly likely to die during childbirth. So that's what made me want to get into that field so I can advocate for those African. I'm an advocate for all my patients, but I'm saying I can advocate for my African American patients because, and I can tell, like, when I walk in the room sometimes, and sometimes they'll even say, like, oh my God, like, I have a Black nurse. I'm so glad that I have a Black nurse. Like, I feel comfortable. They'll open up to you about different things or whatever. And like I say, I can advocate for that patient or whatever. Because I'll even tell my patients, like, I won't tell them, like, oh no, they wanted to do this, don't do it. Hey, they wanted to break your water, you're 2 centimeters. I don't, if it's nothing wrong, if the baby's looking okay, you know, I wouldn't suggest breaking your water at this point. Now, if it was something very serious and they needed to break your water for a real reason, then, you know, go ahead. So I kind of give them advice. I don't just say, no, I wouldn't do this, you know. So, like I say, I think it's important, you know, to have us in the medical field, especially in those specialties or whatever, because to me, I feel like they try to push us off into like med surg, because like I said, that's like backbreaking work. Because when you go to most hospitals, you go to labor delivery, you may see one African American nurse, if that. So that's what I love about my job. We're pretty diverse, like in my job. Like they come in and they're like, oh, we got all these Black nurses, you know, people get, like, our African American people get happy about, you know, those type of things. So, and I like that feeling. So, you know.
I agree. That's why for me, you know, being in my DBH program, my doctoring behavior health program, like I am honestly tired of seeing children who, you know, who go see these doctors and the automatic thing is, okay, let's put them on a medication, you know, because they have ADHD and things like that. I'm more of a holistic person because of my public health background. I believe a person's environment, you know, affects, you know, the way they think and the things that they do and the things that they have seen. And I also feel like it starts with the parents as well. I also feel like it can start during pregnancy and things like that. Another testimony is, I remember this was May, you graduated May of 23, right? This was May of 2023 when I had went to the hospital because my stomach was hurting. And I had got seen, I think I had got seen by a Korean doctor and a nurse's wife. And they was like, oh, just prescribe him famotidine and, you know, get him written up. And they were trying to refer me to a GI doctor, right? And they just prescribed me the famotidine, didn't do too much or anything like that. And then when I went home and took the famotidine, I found out, like, I'm actually allergic to famotidine. I can't even take famotidine because it makes my tongue white. It gives me a salty mouth. I get like these lesions. And so I was like, okay, maybe I'll start feeling better. But like my abdomen was really swollen and I was hurting and like I could not sleep. So I ended up going back to the ER. But this time I had an African-American nurse and he was a male. And when I say out of all the times I've ever just been to the ER, he was the best nurse hands down. Like, you know, I had got admitted to the back. He was taking good care of me. He was like, your heart rate shouldn't be this high. He was like, your stomach shouldn't feel this way. I guess he had gave me like some magnesium or something. He gave me something. It was a white liquid he gave me and it actually started making me feel better. He had took samples of my stool and all of that. He did everything. Like he had did everything for me. And he was like, I want you to go see this GI doctor. So I ended up going to that GI doctor in downtown Dallas, who's currently my GI doctor, which is like, okay, they had diagnosed me with IBS. And that's how I knew, like, I'm not supposed to consume stuff like Red 40, like, you know, certain amounts of dairy and stuff like that. I'm supposed to have a certain fiber intake and things like that. So, I do agree with that, but we are approaching our last 10 minutes. This is where the real unscripted part come in. How you feel about the Super Bowl from yesterday?
You know, I'm careful.
Let's talk about the halftime.
Okay, so with the halftime, I guess they were saying, like, I just kept seeing stuff on Facebook. Was like, oh, people were like, oh, he suck. Because, you know, you used to seeing Beyonce, you used to seeing the entertainment or whatever. So people didn't think that it was very entertaining. But I was seeing people saying, like, oh, you know, you missed the message or whatever. Like, it was really good to me. It was really good to me after I was finally able to go back and kind of watch it and really pay attention to it. Because like I say, my thing, I don't really watch the game. Don't even really care about the Super Bowl. But I really think you know, it was a good halftime show. And he was sending messages out without, you know, sending messages out. So I think that's why a lot of people didn't really catch the messages or whatever. What did you think about it?
I think it went over a lot of people's heads because they expected a big New Orleans show. They expected Wayne. They probably expected, you know, Hot Boys or Boosie or whatever. You know, they expected the New Orleans, Louisiana touch. And I understand that, you know, you had a California rapper come perform in New Orleans when California rappers was able to perform in California a couple of years ago when you had Dr. Dre and all of them. I think it flew up a lot of people's heads because, I mean, I had realized eventually, I'm like, hold on. Samuel L. Jackson is playing Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam.
You know, it flew over my head. And when I went back to watch it, I watched how Kendrick was actually, he was shooting. A lot of people seen it as, oh, he's just still aiming for Drake. But no, he actually aimed for Donald Trump, who was in the crowd.
Who was there, I know, right?
Who was there in the crowd. And they did a tribute to, like, Squid Games, where, you know, in Squid Games, the rich kill the poor. And that's how, you know, they made the American flag and stuff like that. And I think it flew over a lot of people's heads. That's why they conceived it to being boring. And I think the upper class who were in the crowd probably didn't understand what was going on because they don't face that. They're not in this everyday life. You know how upper class are. They don't associate with everyday life. So they probably didn't understand. Meanwhile, you know, the lower class understood. But I think people were more concerned with him taking a shot at Drake and Serena Williams there. You know, she did her crib walk because, you know, her and Drake used to date and things like that.
Yeah. It's like he planned it out real well.
Do you think it should have been somebody else or no?
I mean, it was his time to shine. It happened. Everything happened for a reason. Time to shine, and he got out there, and he did his thing. So, and he was chosen. So, well, it was his time.
That's pretty much it on this first episode of our podcast. I won't keep you too much more longer. I really do appreciate you for being on the podcast. Again, we are promoting the coffee, people. You can get it at the website. It is discounted right now. I do have other flavors on there. This is just the main flavor. We do have multivitamin gummies on here. I have probiotics. I have sea moss. And honestly, I am now developing a body wash and face wash. So, yeah, go get it. And again, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. And I just want to say that I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you for jumping into the medical field because it's one of the fields that's basically just looked over. Because if you think about it, we don't have a lot of mental health facilities or a lot of them are closing down. So thank you for that and just continue on the path that you're on.
Thank you.